Heavenly Father, we just bless you tonight for this incredible time of year and the reminder, Lord, of your extraordinary gift. We thank you, Heavenly Father, tonight that you're the hope of the world, but you're not just the hope of the world, you're our hope. You're everything. And we pray, Lord, tonight that you'd help us to understand that reality and what it means personally to our life, what it can mean to our life, how much more it could mean to our life, and the significance that Jesus Christ can have to each and every person here this evening. You have the power, all of the power, to change and transform our life. You have the power and the ability to take all of our brokenness, all of our sin, all the pain, all the things that have happened in our lives and work them for wonderful good. You have the ability to change everything in our life. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, tonight for the reality of your Son. We thank you, Lord, tonight that you are real, that you reveal yourself to us through all that you've made, through the Word of God, through the people that you put into our life, and through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask you, Lord, tonight, just open our hearts. Help us this evening to understand your truth. Make a difference in our minds and hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to welcome you here this evening. I know I met many of you that are here for the first time, and it's great to have you. I trust that God will use this in your life in a special way to touch your heart, to inspire you, and give you hope. You know, over the years, I've been doing this a long, long time. Actually, I just celebrated a week ago 27 years of pastoring. But it's been 38 years that I've been following Christ, and 38 years that I've been sharing the love of Jesus Christ with whoever would listen. When I was a young man, I would stand outside of my former high school, out on the public property, and as young students would come to the bus to go home, I would hand out little chick tracts, they were called, little comic book tracts. I would go down to the youth center, and I would share there. I would play pool. I would talk to anyone who would listen about what Jesus Christ had done for me and what he had done for them. Now, as I look back, of course, on 38 years, I'm much older, I'm much wiser, I've experienced so much more than when I started at 19. And I've seen God do extraordinary things in the lives of other people. I've seen him change my life, I've seen him change my wife's life. I've been through 34 years of marriage and four children grown up and seen them all married and a grandfather. And I've counseled thousands of people whose lives were broken, whose marriages were shattered, who are going to end in divorce. And I've seen them change. I've seen addicts change. I've seen alcoholics change by the power of Jesus Christ and the things that I'm going to be sharing with you over the course of this series. So I'm not sharing with you, you know, some pipe dream. I'm not some guy who lived up in some, you know, ivory tower writing some books on theoretical gobbledygook that looks great on paper but is crap in life. Jesus Christ is the real deal, and he can and will change your life. You may be asking yourself tonight, Mark, is there hope for me? You may wonder that secretly. Can God really change my reality? Can God help me become a different person? Can God help me break free of the things that are constantly dragging me down? Can God help me overcome my demons? Can I overcome and recover from what others have done to me? You see, sin is just not what we've done ourselves, but all of us have been impacted and hurt in some way, and some greater than others, by the sin of others towards us. And so many people I've dealt with over the years, they just kind of said to me, Mark, I just feel stuck. I feel stuck in my life. Well, I want to share something with you tonight as we get into part two of this series. I was reflecting on this today, and I just thought it was apropos. You know, so many of you probably grew up going to church when you were a kid or some kind of service over Christmas, right? And there's always a Christmas message. But what does a Christmas message really mean? And what would it mean to actually experience Christmas in your life? See, that's God's intention. Christmas was not just an event, but God intended Christmas to be your experience in your life. And you ask, well, Mark, how can that be? God intended to give you the greatest Christmas gift that one could ever possibly receive. A changed, transformed, and saved life. Hope that never, never, never diminishes, but that grows with each passing year. We find in the book of Luke, chapter 2, this couple verses, and I just wanted to read it to you. That night some shepherds were in the fields outside the village, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel appeared among them, and the landscape shone bright with the glory of the Lord. They were badly frightened, but the angel reassured them. "Do not be afraid," he said. "I bring you the most joyful news ever announced, and it is for everyone." I just want to read that again. "I bring you the most joyful news ever announced, and it is for everyone." Everyone. What is the best news ever announced? A Savior, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, Jesus Christ the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem. Jeremy was praying earlier about the hope that we have in heaven. And we have an extraordinary hope. And that's not my topic tonight. But Jesus Christ absolutely has saved us now and for forever. He's freed us from death. As Christians, if you come to know Jesus Christ, you are not going to die. Not in the sense of eternal death. You and I have a home forever in heaven. But I want to make something really clear. Sometimes as Christians, we're just kind of like holding on. You know, we're just kind of like, oh, we grit our teeth and we're going to bear it till finally Jesus comes. That's not what God intended for you and I. We may go through difficulties. We will. We may suffer. We will. We go through hardships. We will. But right now, Jesus promised us an abundant life. Now. Not 1,000 years from now. Jesus promised us that whoever believes out of his inmost being would flow rivers of living and abundant water. We have extraordinary hope because of Jesus Christ. There is nothing in our lives, in our person, in our habits, in our emotions, in our psychological view of life, that God cannot change for the better. For the better. He saves us. This is the great news. There is fantastic hope for you because Jesus Christ came to save us, change us, and transform us. When you and I look at the world, let's just be honest for a moment. I've shared this with you before. Think about your family for a moment, all right? Think about growing up. I don't want you to think about it too long, but I just want you to think about growing up. For most of us in this room, not everybody, it wasn't real pleasant. You know why? Can I tell you why? Because your family had a disease. It's called sin. And it reveals itself in selfishness, cruelty, brutality, abusiveness, self-centeredness, jealousy, pride, thoughtlessness. And for many people, that was the environment in which we grew up. Now, don't get me wrong. Most of you had a mom or a dad and one or the other. Excuse me. And in their own way, they loved you, but they were infected by sin. With sin. All the wars in the world, all caused by sin. Everything we see going on in the continent of Africa, what we see going on in the Middle East, what we see going on in Palestine, what we see going on in our cities, what we see going on in the home of American families. Christ came to save us from that, to change it, to change it. And we live, my children grew up with a different reality. Oh, I'm their father. I'm a sinful man. I made mistakes. It's no question about that. I made mistakes. But because of the power of God in my life, our reality was different than Kathy's reality growing up or my reality growing up. It was different because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And we fuel that faith and we grow that faith. And that faith was strengthened. And God brought about this incredible environment in our home. It was full of love because of God. It was full of joy because of God. It was full of patience and kindness to one another because of God. But that's not what most of us experience. Why? Because God is not in our home. Because he was not in our heart. Because he was not in our life. Because we had not believed and embraced him by faith. And that's how we come to Christ. This is this good news. Christ saves us, and there is nothing too hard for God. There's nothing in your personal life that's too hard or difficult for God. But it's easy to think that, isn't it? I know I wrestled with that as a young man. There were issues in my life, issues. We all have issues. And there were issues that I came face to face with, and they were overwhelming to me. I was like, how in the world am I going to overcome this? And at times it was just so discouraging. And I admit that. It was just overwhelmingly discouraging. Dealing with the internal issues of the crud, let's call it the crud, that God allowed to come to the surface of my life. The strain of life, the pressures of life, being a new husband and a new dad, and the pressure of the finances and providing and all the craziness, it brought out crap. But I knew, all right, God, you got to help me change. You got to help me change, because if I stay this man, this is going to be a bad situation. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. You see, as you walk with Jesus, he's the gift that keeps on giving. And so as I continue to fuel my faith, as I continue to understand the song we sang tonight, he loves us, he loves us, he loves us. What did I read last week in Ephesians chapter 3? Paul said, I pray that your roots, your mind, your roots, your thoughts would go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, that you might know how high and broad and deep and wide his love is for each and every one of you, though it is beyond fully comprehending. But as you begin to comprehend it more and more, you'll be filled up with the fullness of God. Now, I'll tell you, as a young man, And I would, I was ashamed. I was ashamed of my struggles with lust. I was ashamed of my struggle with anger. I was ashamed of my selfishness. So much so that at times it made me feel distant from God. Here's why. It wasn't because I was really distant from God. It wasn't because God moved. It's because I took my eyes off Christ. I took my eyes off the cross. And all I was staring at was me, me, me. Mark, you're the problem. And all I saw was my sin instead of seeing my Savior. And so I believed, and this is really important. We're going to talk briefly about this tonight. I talked a lot about it last night. What you believe is everything. What you believe make or breaks you. What is filling your mind? What is your belief system based on? My belief system was faulty at that time. I actually, though I knew Christ, I had come to a faulty understanding of operation, that now that I knew Christ, I needed to perform for God's love. I needed to improve myself. Somehow, I need to feel bad enough that God would just kind of sweep in and forgive me instead of recognizing, Mark, I love you. Right where you are in all your crud, we know love by this. The Bible tells us in Romans that at the right time, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. It's not that we clean up our life. It's we come to our life messy and God cleans it up. He redeems us right there. And I began to, every day I realized that I had been brainwashed with lies. So I began to take truth, some messages, like I can share with you this evening if you want to get them on strongdisciple.com. You can go and get the awesome love of God. And I began to listen to that every day for a solid year. Every day. See, I recognize my need. I recognize that I am bigger than God in my own eyes. And God must become bigger in your eyes, and you must become less. And I just began to wallow and think about the scripture verses on God's love for me and God's love for me, and it began to change me. It began to transform me. I became a different person. I became little by little more patient, more loving, more considerate, more in love with Jesus because I began to see he was in love with me. Not because I had changed or cleaned everything up, but he just swept me off my feet because, Mark, I just love you. This is why I died for you. Stop sweating this stuff, Mark. Don't worry about it. Just get up, keep your eyes on me, keep following me. Faith is everything. We looked at that last week. We discovered last week that this journey starts and continues with faith. Let me read this verse to you from last week. Very, very powerful verse in 1 John 5, verse 4. Every child of God can defeat this world, and our faith is what gives us the victory. No one can defeat the world without having faith in Jesus as the Son of God. You don't have a prayer. You don't have a snowball's chance in hell of defeating anything unless you have a growing, vibrant faith. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe I have the power of God living inside of me. And he can change me. And he can help me right now, right in my situation, be loving. He can help me right now to be kind. I don't feel like being kind. Doesn't matter. God can help me be kind. And God can change our lives. And he does. He's doing it every day. But you and I must choose to believe this. This faith unleashes God's salvation and power in our lives. I cannot overstate to you how important faith is. If you read the Gospels, you will find Jesus over and over again, gently correcting and rebuking his disciples whom he loved because of their lack of faith. Hey guys, believe. I'm right here. I just turned water into wine. I just fed 5,000. I just raised the dead. Believe. I'm God. He's God and he can change your life. That faith is so incredibly important. We choose, you see, to believe in the incredible power of God living in us through Jesus Christ. We choose to believe that Jesus Christ came to save me, and I believe and act on that belief, and I apply myself and work diligently and wholeheartedly to recover from sin. See, all of us are recovering sinners. Did you know that? Some of you I know here struggle with drugs or alcohol, and so you'll go to meetings and say, hi, my name's Bob, and I'm a recovering alcoholic, or I'm an alcoholic. Well, we're sinners who Christ has saved, and now we're saints in the eyes of God, but we're still recovering. As we walk with Jesus, our recovery becomes better and stronger. But it's also something, please don't misunderstand, we have to work at. And what gave me hope to work at it was that God is in me and he's changing me. God is in me and he's changing me. And this work is going to pay off. And it will result in something good. It inspired me to work at my personal growth. Jesus Christ, his love for me and his power inspired me to grow and change. And I owe him everything. Everything in my life I owe to God. He's done so much for me. And for my family, and I'm going to get into that tonight. Now, tonight, what I want to talk with you about is how rewriting your life. I want to help you rewrite your life in such a way that God is on every page and chapter of your life. Now, I'm going to give you an exercise tonight when we're done. And I can tell you right now, I know some of you will do it, some of you won't. But I'd really like to encourage you. I'd really like to ask you all to do it. Because I promise you that if you begin to do it and you begin to make it a habit, and I'm going to get into it this evening, it will change, help change, and transform your life. Your life and my life, all of us here, is filled with blessings and good things. But here's the question, have you really noticed them? Have you really noticed them? You and I, here's the truth. You and I have a running story in our heads about our lives. And most often, if we're honest, we focus our attention and our storyline on the difficult, on the bad, on the negative, and the things we don't like, and that's a fact. We have this storyline. We have this ongoing narrative in our life. Now, sometimes our emotions, maybe we wake up on the wrong side of the bed. No really explanation for it. You just woke up and you just feel like, yeah, mad at the world. You ever have that happen? I'm sure you have. So you think to yourself, well, it's just a bad day. But it didn't have to stay a bad day. That's about attitude, see? Doesn't have to stay a bad day. It's all dependent upon what you decide from that point on to do with your head. It all depends on what lens you decide to look through. We call that our outlook. What am I going to look through? Which lens? Am I going to look through the temporal lens at life? Life stinks. Everything's bad. I got screwed. My upbringing was horrible. Nobody likes me. I got all these problems. Or am I going to look through the lens of God? Jesus Christ is in my life. God is working everything for good in my life. Let me focus on what God has done for me today. What has God done for me in the last week? What are the blessings that I have right now in my life? When I, you know, excuse me. It's funny when you're a kid sometimes, things you hear, they stick with you. And I'm a music lover. All my families were music lovers. And I didn't grow up, I didn't like hymns very much. But it's funny now that I'm older, all those little hymns, I was a little three-year-old standing in the pews with my mom and dad, they come back to my head. I don't want them to sometimes, but they're there. And there's this one, it went like this. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. You know, I'm like, that song would change your life. You know how I know? Because I did it. Because I did it. Because I started to obey that song. Now, let me explain something to you. Actually, that song is found in a verse. What I want to do, I want to help you tonight see your life through the lens of God's goodness and God's faithfulness. I'm not saying we pretend nothing bad or difficult happens to us. Rather, I want to help you follow God's prescription for life, for mental and emotional wellness, so that you may genuinely experience the joy God has for you. It all starts with Philippians 4:8. I'd like to read this to you from the Living Bible. Philippians 4:8. I've been going over this verse for 30 plus years. It was about 30 years ago that God really, about 8 years into my spiritual journey, that God really knocked me upside the head with this verse. And it has been, in an ongoing way, transformative for me. And now, dear brothers and sisters, as I close this letter, let me say this one more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about the things that are pure and lovely in your life and dwell on the fine good things. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. Wow. And we're not tweeting about that, are we? You don't find people's Twitter page or what's coming out of Hollywood or politicians about all the fine, good things in life. The Bible tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Twitter, Facebook, your stuff, it all reveals what's in your heart. You didn't know that, I'm telling you that tonight. Maybe some of us, we need to go home and do what's called repent. It means we turn away from that and we go embrace something different. That's what it means. It doesn't mean you feel really bad and terrible and you just beat yourself up. It means you just turn away from that and you go embrace something new. You know what I like about this word fix? Have you ever seen cameras, these cameras, they're just fixed there. They're just, you know, maybe they're shining on the ducks that are supposed to have babies. I don't know. They're just fixed there. And over here was maybe a car accident, but it missed the car accident because it's just fixed right here on this natural wonder. We tend to take our cameras and we try to fix them on good things, but then there's something over here and our mind takes in all these things. We do that with our life. We play the storyline over our life. You know, it's woe is me. Things are bad. Nothing good happens to me. This happened, that happened. What would happen if you obeyed this verse? What would happen if you embraced God's prescription for your emotional, mental well-being? Do you understand that God cares about you as a whole person? Can I just tell you how God's been misrepresented? We kind of look at the Bible sometimes and we think, you know, I'm supposed to do this, I'm supposed to do that. No, 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 you don't understand. God loves you as his child, and God wants your life to work. God cares about your emotional and your mental stability. He cares about your attitude and your joy in life. The Bible says, griping, complaining brings discouragement. Pleasant words bring life and health. So what often happens to all of us? The words of our mind. You don't have to say a word for you to be thinking words. The words of our mind are often, not always, discouraging, disheartening, critical, down, negative. And as a result, our mental state is not at peace. Our heart is in turmoil. Our emotions are in turmoil. And we're missing God. We're missing all these things that God has done in our lives. I want to challenge you to start and maintain a blessing list. I have a blessing journal. Okay? Now, I'm not a writer sort of a guy. That's not really my makeup. But I've learned over the years... that I can take a pencil, and the reason I use a pencil is because sometimes the ink skips, and then when it's really cold, sometimes I write in the cold, and ink doesn't write in the cold. So I just keep these really cool Zebra mechanical pencils around. Now, you could do this on your smartphone if you have an app for it. You could do it on your computer. You could do it on your iPad, whatever works for you. But I like these journals. Someday my kids will have them, and I have all these cool different leather journals at home, and I have two of them. One of them's full. And in those journals, I write a little date. So I'll see if I can find one in here. A lot of these are really personal. But so here's what I wrote down. 11/9/13. New pipes in the house to replace the old illegal broken pipes. $1,830. But it was free to me. Because God brought a hailstorm 2 months ago. Damaged my roof, destroyed it, but it needed changed anyway because it was 27 years old. And I was going to have to pay for it out of pocket. Instead, I got a $6,000 roof. And for the money that was left over from the windows they said were damaged, but they look great to me, I replaced the pipes. Yeah, that's what I wrote down right there, see? Boy, that was hard. Yeah, that really took like talented writership, didn't it? I probably didn't even punctuate right. You know, I'm not very good at that. I just know how to get a point across. You know, you see that? That's maybe my gift. I know how to make a point. Our family, we get together on, we call it Thanksmas. I have obviously four children, four in-law children, and they have relatives in town. And so I really sincerely mean this. The darlings, we remember that our goal is to make Christ attractive to the world, and we live for others, not for ourselves. And so one of the practical ways that Kathy and I thought we could do this was, you know, we don't want our kids feeling like, all right, we got to go to mom and dad's on Thanksgiving, and then we got to go to over her, my wife's Thanksgiving, and we got to go to my husband's for Thanksgiving. And we just said, hey, kids, how about we do this? And then, you know, Christmas is the same. They're like really close. So he said, how about you guys just go be with your families, your other families on those days? And the first Saturday of December at around 3 o'clock, we'll just get together and we'll have Thanksgiving and Christmas together. And mom and dad, you don't have to give us no gifts. We'll just get gifts for the grandkids and we'll just hang out together and be together. It's worked really well. So the other day, I made a list for my family. 2013 was a quite an extraordinary year for us. And I'm going to adjust some of these a little bit. I don't know if my kids want me to share them or not, but you know, I just write everything down. I mean, I just focus. So, I mean, God has just been so incredibly good to us. God gave both my sons an incredible job last year at the same company. At a company, the lady there said, we never, ever, ever hire brothers. We just don't do it. But they did, and she's actually written me twice telling me how blessed she is to have them there. I can't even believe how God has blessed them. I won't give them the details because that's kind of private. I mean, God gave Mark, my new son-in-law, an incredible internship that he was praying for at a company, at a computer for web design. He's also going to web design. And then we were praying, and just before his wedding to my daughter Jessica, they offered him a full-time job there. God gave us beautiful granddaughter Caroline this summer. God saved my daughter Celeste's life this summer. About 3 weeks after the baby, she was in the bathroom and all of a sudden blood everywhere, just blood. Like maybe a gallon. She could have died right then and there. It's just a miracle. And they got her right over to the hospital. It was real touch and go. But God used that, and for the next 2 or 3 weeks, I was able to go up every day. I'd get up there about 6 in the morning, and just it was the most special time. Just being Mr. Mom, being Mr. Dad, being taking care of everything, sweeping, cleaning, helping the baby. And, you know, now she's up, she's strong. But I'm telling you what, that's just a gift from God. God provided a super home for my youngest son, 24 years old. He's got his first home. I didn't buy my first home until I was 43. And God gave him and Leslie this incredible house in St. Paul, a huge answer to prayer for our new house church called Fulton House to begin reaching out to St. Thomas and St. Kate's University. And on top of that, this was a huge answer, in the basement is a little apartment they fixed up, and Mark and Jessica are able to start their lives there. I was in tears over this stuff. This is just incredible. I go over this stuff every day, thanking God for it. God provided incredible ways for Mark and Jessica's wedding. By the way, ladies, I got to tell you this. I've been waiting to share this. So you know how many of you I've told you, ladies, just let me give you a piece of wedding advice. You know how many weddings we've had in this church already? Probably, I don't know, 100. You know how many dresses were worn once? They're just sitting in someone's closet. Don't buy one. Go borrow a friend's. My daughter Jessica did it. Thank you, Jessica. Bless you. And she was stunning, man. You got to see the picture of her in this dress. It's just stunningly beautiful. And she cleaned it, added a little piece on it to make it hers. And man, instead of spending thousands of dollars on a dress you wear one time. I'm sorry, that makes me really happy. God has provided in amazing ways for each of our family. We have wonderful, warm, safe homes to live in. We have fresh water. We have some people visiting us tonight from countries we don't have fresh water. We don't have a safe place to live. When you can't go out and walk on the streets. I go out in the streets in my neighborhood, sometimes 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, walking along, praying. Cars pass me, I don't worry at all. We are so blessed. We have wonderful food to eat. We have food to eat. We have loving, godly spouses and wonderful, healthy grandchildren. God provided a great doctor this year for my wife to see, who's helping her back in her neck for the first time in her life. My little grandson, Raleigh, came to know Jesus this year. God provided a great hailstorm for Grandpa, so the roof I needed to have replaced, I got the whole thing free. And enough left over for the pipes. Anyway, I could go on. I could go on. Every single day, after I get up in the morning, and I get my shower, and often, this is not, I'm not lying. I'm not lying about this. I'm just telling you, if you practice what I'm telling you, it will change your life. It will change your life. And I'll go down, and we keep the house pretty cold. Mark, I know, is glad. Mark was also our roommate for about 3 years. I know he's really glad to be in a warmer house. So I think my bedroom is usually about 56 at night. I don't know, something like that. I wear a winter coat to bed. Not this one either, by the way. Someone asked me that the other day. They said, Mark, do you wear your leather coat? I said, no, I don't wear my leather coat to bed. I have a snowboarding coat that I wear to bed. And it's a cool one. I just want you to know I wear a cool winter coat to bed. Anyway, I sleep better when it's really cold. So I get up in the morning, and I turn the heat on just a little. And the bathroom, I have the vents shut, but it's just enough heat that it warms up the little bathroom. And I go in there, and I get the hot water. I'm standing in the shower, and I'm like, Lord, God, thank you for hot water. This is a nicer shower than I ever grew up with. I grew up, you know, in the kind of locker room kind of thing with old cinder block bricks that had fungus growing on them. You know, it was just what we had. A little plastic curtain that gets all, you know, junk all over it. I mean, I actually got a little glass door, you know, and a little thing to hold soap and shampoo, chrome that I bought at Target. And that may not be a big deal to you, but it's a big deal to me. It's just a small bathroom. And then I get up, and I go and make some coffee. Someone put me onto that French press coffee, and, God, I really like it. And I get my glass of water, and I sit for a few minutes, and I read a few things. I check out the weather, and then, boom, I get on my prayer coat. I get on my prayer shoes, and off I go. I wasn't going out when it was 20 below. That's a little, yeah, I wasn't doing that. Then I get on my elliptical. And I just go out and I pray, and I always start with thanking God. And I just begin going down the list. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. That Lord, I didn't have an electric garage door growing up. Thank you for this electric garage door opener. Lord, I just walk out this window. I look out this window. I'm so thankful, Lord, for this big open space and all that white snow and that little pond right over there that no one can ever build anything around because it's a gas easement underneath the ground. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that in the 14 and a half years we've lived here, there's not a bunch of little screaming, yelling kids out in the backyard. I love children, but don't get me wrong. But it's really nice to just sit on the deck and there's not a lot of noise. You go to the front yard and there's noise, but you go to the back. I can't understand it. There's no noise. It's nothing fancy. It's just a little twin home. You know, I got appraised recently, $155,000, so that'll tell you. This is not much. Tomorrow, darling, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. I got a little fireplace, and well, I got a garbage disposal. This is not a day that goes by. I got my health. How many guys my age are this healthy? How many people are this vibrant? I can see, I can taste, I can still hear. I don't have to wear a hearing aid yet. That'll probably come. I still have teeth, most. And I can walk and I can work out and I do my stretches. Mark turned me on to stretching and boy, it's made a huge difference. Every day I do it. Every day. You want to be teachable? If I'm trying to teach you, I am teachable. Every day since he told me 12 minutes every morning I stretch. I can almost now touch my nose to the floor, my legs spread apart. That's pretty good for a guy 57. But I didn't start that way. I just keep working at it every day and every day. And man, my back feels better. My body feels better. God, you just bless me. And I'm so grateful I can serve others, Lord. And I'm so grateful you gave me this vehicle. I've told you this before, but I'm not lying to you. I'll be driving down the road in my 1992, 22-year-old car. Little Honda Accord, 192,000 miles, and I'm driving on the road. I have a 5-speed, and I'm like, Lord, thanks for five. I like shifting, Lord. Thanks for giving me a 5-speed. It doesn't have a radio, and it doesn't have AC. The right window doesn't work, but that's okay. It's up. I figured a way to lock it up. It's okay. It is not down. And the thermostat works really good, and it starts every morning. And it's all paid for. And I'm like, Lord, thank you so much for freeing me from my passions, my wants, and my desires, and from enslavement to materialism. Lord, I'm so thankful because I'm able to save money and I'm able to share with others, and I enjoy it, Lord. I enjoy my life. I'm so grateful, God, for my life. I'm so grateful you're in my life. I'm so grateful for the wife you gave me. And for 34 years for her love and the joy that you brought in my life because of this woman. Do you understand the radical difference that is to going about your life? And every day, and I go through it. And then later on in the day, I go up and sit by Kathy. And we pray. And she'll tell you, sometimes we're there both in tears as the mark's just going on and on, thanking God for this and for that and for the other thing and the next thing and the next thing. You know what it's like to thank God for 4 children that never got into drugs, never got into sex, never got into alcohol, that all married as virgins, that are following Jesus Christ? Do you know what I mean? Like, I struck it rich and died and went to heaven. Do you know how incredibly blessed I am? I don't deserve that. I'm so grateful to God for it. I'm so grateful to God. I want you to get a book. If you like cool leather ones, I can put you on to where to get them. You can make your own if you want. Or use your app. But I'm telling you, do this. Do this. Start a blessing list. Rewrite your life with God on every page and chapter. God is working everything for good in your life. If you're here tonight, God brought you here. Some of you know the rock. God has used this church to change your life. Think about the friends that you have for a moment in your life. The people you've begun to get to know here who love you, who've accepted you, who pray for you, who stood by you. I'm not even touched. I was with the pastors the other night. It was our 25th anniversary, and some of you don't know this. It'd take too long to share the history, but I and Brent Knox started Evergreen years ago together, 25 years ago officially. All of our other 5 locations are all from that church. And he and I have worked together over the years, overseeing these and working in the different of the 5 churches, and one in Berlin, Germany. That's 6. God has done incredible things. And I was going through the list with the men the other night and their wives as we were together at the Rock Mission House. We threw a little party for all of them for Christmas. And I just said, I want to take 10 minutes. And I just want to share with you what God has done. You know what Psalm 107 says? He who is wise will take this to heart and will see in our history the faithful love of the Lord. If you're a wise person, you will stop, you will think, and see in your personal history the loving kindness of God. Some of you may go, but Mark, I came here so broken. But it was your brokenness that brought you to the cross. It was your brokenness that brought you to Jesus. And he puts Humpty Dumpty all back together again. Better than you were before. And if you hadn't been broken, you'd have never come to Jesus. He changes everything. And we just went through the list of one thing after another, after another, after another that God has done. It is just incredible. So please tonight, go home and write your life. And I want to close with this psalm. I wrote a song to this psalm. If you want to hear it, you go to strongdisciple.com. And you can download my music CD. It's called Medicinal Spirit. I've been singing this song. I used to go into my kids' room, and I would sing it to them when they were little. I wrote it when I was 20. I've been singing it for 37 years. Psalm 23, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadow grass and leads me beside the streams that are quiet. He restores my failing health. He helps me do what honors Him most. Even when walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for You're close beside me. You guard me. You guide me. Remember Jeremy's song, Guardian? He guards us. He guides us all the way. You provide delicious food for me in the presence of those who hate me. You've welcomed me as a guest. Blessings overflow in my life. Your goodness and Your unfailing love and kindness will be with me all the days of my life. They will follow me forever. And afterwards, I will live with You forever in Your home. That is the life of the Christian. The one who's accepted Jesus Christ by faith, who said to God, God, I need Your Son. I accept this Christmas gift that You've given to me because I know I've sinned. I know I'm broken. Jesus, come into my life. That's salvation. Do you believe it? And then you continue to believe it. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. And I would really like to invite you back next week, because we're going to continue this series, Is There Hope for Me? There's some other really good things that I want to share with you that will be incredibly helpful in building your hope and transforming your life. Lord, I just bless You tonight, Lord, for Your goodness to us, Your goodness to me personally, Your faithfulness in my life. I could stand here tonight, Lord, for hours recounting the faithfulness of God when I was in difficult situations, difficult circumstances, difficult economy. And time again, You came through, You came through, You came through. You have blessed me some more. You've been so good to me. I ask You, Lord, that You'd help us to fix our mind on what's good and what's lovely and what's true and what's praiseworthy, on all the blessings, and to aggressively give You thanks for them. I pray that each person here would try this the next 30 days in their life and see for themselves the transformation that begins to take place in their heart, in their mind, in their attitude, and the increased peace and joy that they would experience if only we follow Your prescription for life. Thank You, Lord, for being such an incredible God. In Jesus' name, amen. Every voice.